Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 6th of June, 2017. This is the 73rd anniversary of the Great Invasion, the Normandy invasion, back on June 6, 1944. Coming to you live today from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our live streaming. Means you can listen to our program pretty much anywhere at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, our live line number is open for you, 790-2040, for your calls and questions. We're going to begin, as we do usually, the first Tuesday of the month. We begin with Terry Bracey. Terry is our expert on Washington governmental affairs. We're fortunate to have Terry and about two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Terry has enjoyed certainly a very long and distinguished career that began as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey Tucker Brown Valenzano, which has a very prestigious roster of clients that includes the city of Tucson. Terry, how are you?
I'm just great. I was so excited to see your Facebook posts about your South Pacific jaunt. Boy,
oh,
that
my.
Looks wonderful.
That was a great trip. dreaming of that, the Tahiti and the ocean here as we hit 107 today, Terry. But back in D.C., amid all the craziness, I guess at least you've got a good sports team in baseball.
Oh, we're having a great time. The Nationals are this year's version of the Cubs.
Yep.
Last year.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just mowing down everybody, and they're already, I think, 12 games up in the East, and so they're going to postseason. And your Cubbies have sort of a sophomore slump going on, huh?
Well, they did, but now they picked it up a little bit. I think they're still very much. I think they're picking it up. They're still going to be a big contender. How's that mood in Washington these days, Mr. Bracey?
Well, you know, Bill, it's as glum as I've ever seen it. You know, usually after an election where one party wins a big victory, they carry the House and the Senate and the presidency. It's a time of excitement and adventure. You know, when the U of A sent me back to Washington just after Lyndon Johnson's election, his sweep, it was really a time of excitement, and you know, all town was full of young professionals just dying to get in government and be part of that kind of social action era. But conversely, the Republicans have now swept; they've got everything. But all you can read around here is a lot of unhappiness, and no policy come when, you know, that after Johnson, we got Medicare, federal aid education, the anti-poverty programs, the Voting Rights Act. It was historic. And you would think that that situation might prevail again, but it isn't. It's really a glum time here.
Well, at dinner parties, I guess politics might be best avoided, and everybody wants to talk about something neutral, perhaps how the Washington Nationals are doing.
Thank God for the Nationals. We have nothing to talk about. No one wants to talk about politics.
Oh, my goodness.
No, in the most political town in the country.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Were you surprised at all about the president abandoning the Paris Accords?
No, Bill, I really wasn't surprised. I thought that the president tipped his hand when he behaved so badly at the NATO meetings. He seems, for some reason, to want to pick a fight with the Europeans, and he also seems to want to shift away from the arrangements like NATO, which have kept peace since World War II, or relative peace. And he he apparently wants to move us closer to the Russians, and people are saying what he wants is a kind of a bilateral world where strong Americans and strong Russians run the show. I don't know. I'm puzzled. I've spent almost 50 years in this political world in Washington, and this thing is still full of surprises for me. So, there's all this wild speculation about what the president's going to do or not do. Maybe some of it is uncalled for, but he just invites it. He's alienated the Europeans, who are close, and our closest allies here, Canada and Mexico. So when he searches for allies, where does that leave him?
Well, is there anything positive that's coming out of the White House that you see? Well, they're talking about this is kind of the week of infrastructure, and you're a guy who has worked for the transportation secretary. I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts.
Well, that certainly is one positive thing that's come out. Although instead of leading with a building program, for which they've got some very creative ideas, he has started with the idea of privatizing the air traffic control system. And whatever virtue this plan may have, and there are some, it would also cause widespread concern in Congress, and it will be slow going at best. They've tried it before, and it's never gotten through. So, and then on the big picture, the building program, which I think could be his real, he could make a mark with it. We get talking points largely about privatizing everything, from road building to road maintenance to virtually everything. And all these new kinds of public-private partnerships, some of which have worked quite well in the States, but of course they have to be paid for, and that means toll roads. So what he is projecting is, a future of toll roads is frankly what I see. I don't know. We'll find out some way for Tucson to benefit.
Well, about the air traffic controllers, and you say this has been tried before, what do you see as some of the benefits to this? I understand this type of system has been used and is used in other countries. Is that correct?
That's right. The big organizational problem with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, is it has two potentially competing functions. Its most important function is air safety. And the air traffic controllers are part of that. The other part of the FAA is to be an advocate for all aviation. That's not just the airlines and commercial aviation, but it's the private pilots. It's all people who fly. And to some extent, it's always in my mind been a conflict. When you're thinking about an agency which is both an advocate and a potential critic. So I think that they've got their hands around a problem that we need to solve. We've always needed to solve it, but whether the solution of a private corporation and the potential of turning over part of safety to profit is a good idea, that's going to take a long study by Congress before they'll agree to it. So once again, we're going to be stymied on the Hill.
And we have these big issues looming, of course, health care reform and the tax structure. So there's so much on the plate right now, isn't there?
There is, and frankly, it's going nowhere. I don't think the healthcare bill is going anywhere. I think that there's been such a public eruption over that that even people who voted for it are kind of hoping it'll go away. So there's not much happening here in Washington, and that's why everybody's glum.
In the remaining few seconds, Terry Bracey, we've had demonstrations, of course, hearkening back to the 60s where folks were left and right. Does this sort of feel different to you in some ways? What's going on?
Well, of course, I was part of that generation,
right,
as were you. We saw the chaos internally caused by the Vietnam War. It was pretty awful. But what's going on now is a division the likes of which I've never really seen. Have you? I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't either. And this polarization, the polarization's been going on. Certainly it was there during the 8 years of the Obama administration. It just seems now that the battle lines, if you will, they're so sharpened right now and so hard. It's just it's a difficult place, I feel, anyway, for this country right now. And I think you would agree with that, Terry.
Well, I do. And but, you know, somehow we'll survive this.
You bet we will. Yep.
But you know, we can just hope that president and the Republican Congress will step up to the plate and, you know, fulfill their obligation to unify the country.
That's
it. They've got some work to do.
All right. Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you, Terry. We'll talk to you in July. Thanks.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Terry Bracey with us, our man in Washington, our Washington contributor, our financial advisor, certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, giving me a thumb that is not up, that's not down, but is kind of in the even position. That's where we are on the market today. More from Shelley after we take our first break. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Wednesday at noon on The Buckmaster Show. Our monthly showdown features commentators Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Plus, we'll talk with education writer for the Tucson Weekly, David Safir, Buckmaster on AM 1030. KVOI, we've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and pretty much 6.5 years worth of our programs archived on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And if it's Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show, it's Shelley Fishman. Hello, Shelley.
Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, and it'd be a good research project to see which is the weakest day of the week
for the
market.
Tuesdays.
I'd say Tuesday. I don't know. That's just kind of my gut reaction.
We've had kind of stagnation in the markets now since the big Trump explosion after the election, and the markets have been generally up. Certainly, we were over 21,000, but last couple of weeks have been fairly flat, and the concern clearly is that as Terry was just saying, we're not getting the movement in the programs that the country was counting on and, in effect, elected Trump to do, infrastructure, tax reform, and the like.
And that's what Wall Street was also counting on.
That's what Wall Street was hoping
is counting
for,
on,
right.
Still, certainly,
and
infrastructure
and
programs.
And what we're seeing is the economy moving in exactly the same way it had been moving, maybe a little more slowly than it had been moving in the last years of the Obama administration. We had an employment report on Friday that was in many ways very troubling. We had about 138,000 new jobs created, and the unemployment rate ticked down, actually, from 4.4% to 4.3%. But the reason the unemployment rate ticked down was because 400,000 people left the workforce and were no longer looking for jobs. So that, plus we had significant downward revisions in the prior 2 months' employment report. And of course, the way this employment report is put together is through surveys of households, but going backward, that data really firms up. So it's not unusual to have revisions. And this time, the revisions for March and April came down significantly. So the 2-year running average has actually been lowered. We need about 180 or 190,000 jobs created every month in order to keep pace with the population growth and keep pace with the kind of growth that we need in GNP. We're not getting increases in labor productivity. You know, quite frankly, the economy has squeezed about as much productivity in the past 8 or 9 years out of labor as it's going to get. So the only place where growth can come is through employment. And clearly, a lot of that employment is in consumer spending. But the retail sector has been hurting and been laying people off. We also see a large and significantly measurable movement from brick and mortar stores to online purchases.
Oh, yes.
And so it's having an effect, you know, combined with globalization, et cetera. The economy is changing, and it's changing rather significantly. The Trump administration brags that, you know, having created about 1 million jobs between the election and now, that number is close to right, but it's no different from what it was in the prior 6 or 7 years. So there has been no real movement in that respect. And you know, frankly, Bill, you wouldn't expect there to be. Economic policy, to the extent it gets made and carried through, takes time to bleed through this economy. You don't expect to see the effect of economic policy for a year or more. So we haven't had any real economic policy. We've had, you know, some presidential signatures on some programs to look at stuff, but it hasn't had an effect. We had the president and the secretary of Pruitt was out talking about 50,000 new jobs in mining and coal. Well, you know, that turns out to be just misleading as heck. The maximum number of new jobs we've had in mining is maybe 4,000 or 5,000. The rest are in extraction and the services that are around the extraction of gas and oil. So, yes, has the energy sector gained jobs over the past 5 or 6 months? You bet it has. But it hasn't been in coal mining. Coal's dead. Coal is going to continue to shrink because it's too expensive. It's more expensive than natural gas. So what we're seeing is the economy reacting to the overall steadiness that we've seen. And now we're seeing the markets, the stock markets and the bond markets, react to the lowered likelihood that some of these policies will actually get implemented this year.
The infrastructure package.
The infrastructure package is number one. That's tax reform. If we could get some meaningful tax reform, even if
that'd
it's
be
just
a huge stimulus
just
to
in
this
the
market
just
right
a, just yeah. in the business
yeah.
sector,
yeah, it would.
That would be, I think, very helpful. But otherwise, I think we're just going to continue to see this economy growing as it has. It's not bad. I mean, we've had nice growth in the stock markets. Bond markets have enigmatically climbed along with stocks. They're not supposed to do that, but they have. Interest rates have stayed low. We're not seeing any meaningful inflation because we're not seeing productivity increase. We've had about as much of that as we can stand. And as a result, the only way to get wage increases is to negotiate for them. We've got almost 5 million jobs right now open that we can't fill. That's a huge number of jobs, and we don't have the skilled labor to fill those jobs. It's taking companies what would be weeks to fill jobs is taking them months to fill jobs.
And this whole redoing of the thinking of the malls, 1 out of 5 malls may be history within 5 years.
Yes.
That's a huge blow to retail.
It's a huge blow
it
to retail.
Is.
So, you know, it is not necessarily a bad blow to the economy
no.
in general, but it is a blow to a sector.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, the economy doesn't stay stagnant. It keeps moving. The classic example is buggy whips. You know, nobody does buggy whips
nobody
anymore.
Does a buggy
and,
whip.
You know, the buggy whip manufacturers are out of business. Just sorry about that.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing you get when technology is moving ahead as quickly as it does. And, you know, in this information technology or the Gen 5 of the information technology, it's heading in directions that even 5 years ago we couldn't have predicted. And so we need to roll with those punches, and we need to be educating people. We need to make sure that this economy can remain competitive and be a participant in the decisions that are being made by markets throughout the world, which is why it was so, I think, discouraging for a lot of people. Forget about whether you believe in global warming or anything like that. Just not being at the table all the time in a time of fast-moving technology change is just very alarming.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, what's a good way to reach you?
Buckmastershow.com, and then hit the link to me, and I get an email and return the call.
Okay, and you would love to talk with people about their financial situation, because that's what you do.
That's what I do, and it's changing now, and people need to really be consulting with their advisors.
All right, Shelley, have a great week.
You too,
okay?
Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Yes, it's very warm during the day, hot, if you will, but it's still good gardening time early in the morning, and certainly in that golden hour before sunset. A lot to do with the garden And, of course, make sure everything is watered properly. But check out Green Things, greenthingsaz.com, one of our fine sponsors here on The Buckmaster Show. Let's go now on The Buckmaster Show live line. State Senator Katie Hobbs with us. Senator Hobbs, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing real well. You have decided that you would like to be the next Arizona Secretary of State. That's an enormously important office. We don't have a lieutenant governor in this state. So, in effect, Secretary of State is number two. It's important.
Yes, yeah.
So, why are you running, Katie?
Well, I think the most important reason is during my time in the Senate, I've watched continued attacks on voter rights, a lot of them led by the current secretary. And I think that office should really be focused on making sure that more people can vote instead of restricting access to the ballot.
What about, you say, protecting voter rights and the initiative process? The mm-hmm. initiative process is certainly under fire right now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We passed two bills this session. I say we, but I did not vote for them, that severely restrict our constitutional rights as Arizonans to bring initiative to the ballot.
What else is on your agenda as a Democratic candidate for Secretary of State?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, first and foremost, protecting voter rights, but also the issue of dark money. Secretary Reagan ran on a platform of trying to curb that in Arizona, and when she got elected, she did a complete 180 and did the opposite. She expanded the influence of dark money through a campaign finance bill that she pushed through the legislature last year. And also, just in terms of her performance of the job, it's been problematic. We saw the huge lines in Maricopa County. I know there were a problem in Yuma County and other smaller counties as well for the presidential preference election last March. That was under her watch. And then subsequent pretty big missteps, the failure to send out hundreds of thousands of statutory required voter guides, blaming that on vendors, and the fact that she continues to kind of make these high-profile mistakes really, to me, is an indication that she's not interested in doing the job she was elected to do. And so I think the first priority getting in there is to restore competence and kind of help restore some of the public's faith in that office.
Michelle Reagan, obviously, in your opinion, then, is not doing a good job. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sure. I mean, not just my opinion. I've talked to folks on both sides of the aisle since I announced a couple months ago, and everyone is kind of shares that belief that she's not doing a very good job.
You already debated her, didn't you? Have some kind of a debate up in Phoenix? was a charity event, correct?
Yeah, it was for the Arizona Advocacy Network, and it was at a roast of Maricopa County Recorder Fontes, and it was fun, and she was a really good sport to participate in that.
Give our listeners here in Southern Arizona, Senator, a little bit of background about you. You are a Democratic state senator from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. What is your background in politics, please?
Yeah, so I'm a social worker. I've been a social worker for 25 years, and that's why I ran for office in the first place. I was specifically working with domestic violence victims and on domestic violence policy at the Capitol. It was really frustrating. Domestic violence is really something that's not a partisan issue, but we ran into roadblocks all the time in trying to get expanded protection for victims, policies that would hold offenders more accountable, and part of the victim services aspect, a lot of it had to do with safety, social safety net benefits, and it was just really frustrating. And so I decided that some of the folks that I worked with really needed a stronger voice at the Capitol, and that's when I decided to run. So I was elected to the House in 2010. the Senate in 12, and then as the Senate Democratic leader in 2014, and I've been in that role since then.
Your colleague, Senator Steve Farley from here in Tucson, mm-hmm. announcing last night that he is running for governor. What are some of your thoughts about your colleague, Senator Farley's run for governor?
Well, I think I definitely support him in that endeavor. I think we need a strong challenge to Governor Ducey. I think that a lot of folks are kind of worried about a primary on the Democratic side, but I think that will be good in general. I think that it would make either candidate coming out of that election a stronger candidate and also put more attention on the Democrats running throughout the process and not wait until after the primary is over for people to figure out who they are. So
you think it's a good thing that he's actually going to have, that there'll be this challenge in the primary with Dr. Garcia, the ASU mm-hmm. education professor? You think this will actually make whoever emerges from the primary a stronger challenger to the governor?
Yes, absolutely.
You're back in Connecticut, I believe, at the Women's Campaign School at Yale. What is that about?
So it's the Women's Campaign School is in its 23rd year. It's a nonpartisan or bipartisan organization that specifically trains women to run for office. And it's a week-long program, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. It was very competitive this year. 500 or 600 applicants and 80 of us here. So very excited to be part of it.
Now, what are some of the things you're taking away from that meeting? What are some of the tips you're getting?
So the last campaign training I had was a lot of years ago before I ran for office. And so so I'm getting a lot of refreshers, but also, you know, technology has changed since I started running for office. And I just right now, before I called, was walking away from the fundraising portion.
That's an important one. You don't want to miss that session, the fundraising session.
Running for statewide office is the money you have to raise is pretty daunting. So I'm hoping for lots of really good takeaways from that session.
Anyone else announced so far for Secretary of State on the Dem side?
Not announced. Mayor Stanton, Phoenix Mayor Stanton has a committee, but he has not running for that office. When he moved his money there, he said it was just for a placeholder, so he would have access to that. So I'm not sure what his plans are or if there'll be another challenger.
Speaking for the Democrats in the Senate anyway, what did you think of this current legislative session? Was it better than the previous ones as far as getting more of Democrats to the table, or did you have any voice at all, do you think?
Well, I think there were a few opportunities. Overall, I think it was a disappointing session. There were definitely opportunities for us to be at the table, but at the end of the day, for the most part, the Republicans decided to play partisan politics and buy off Republican votes instead of working with us to get some important policy passed that we supported, but they didn't want to give us what we wanted for our votes for that. So particularly the university bonding proposal.
All right. Katie Hobbs, have you set up a website for your Secretary of State run?
Of course. It's katiehobbs.org.
Okay. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much. And hope it goes well back at the Women's Campaign School at Yale. Thank you very much, Senator Hobbs.
Thanks for having me, and anytime you would like me back, I am happy to do so.
Thank you very much. Senator Katie Hobbs, Democratic senator from Phoenix, who has announced that she will be challenging, if she gets by the Democratic primary, but she would like to be the next Secretary of State, replacing Michelle Reagan, who will be our guest here in a couple of weeks, I believe. We'll be spending some time with the Secretary of State. But right now, we're going to take our break here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll come back. We'll talk education with Dr. Robert Hendricks right after this.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
.12:48, almost exactly, here in the Buckmaster Show at KVOI. Well, give it take a few seconds. Not exactly 12:48. Now it is. Anyway, looking for a cool weekend getaway, a relatively cooler place is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, the mile-high elevation makes for mild days and still cool nights. So there's so much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and there's no shortage of great places to stay. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website, several dozen recreation opportunities, and a like number of great places to stay in that beautiful corner of southwestern New Mexico. Let's join Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show education contributor Peter, who is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Hendricks, the former superintendent of the Flowing Well School District, at one time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year while he was at Flowing Wells. And speaking, first of all, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about you?
I'm doing very well, and it's great to talk with you again. I was going to mention, speaking of Flowing Wells, your former colleague, is it Nick Clement?
Yes.
Is going to be heading up and is heading up kind of this interim search that's going on at TUSD. They've got a good guy there, right?
I think so. Dr. Clement has done a number of searches for the Arizona School Board Association, which is the organization that conducts many of the screenings for school districts around the state. And so he has that experience. He has that depth of knowledge. And I think he certainly has the hope that the board will work with him in trying to get a really good candidate, a good nominee for that position.
So is he kind of heading up the process then of what they should do next? Is that the way that works?
He is. I've looked very briefly at his process, mm-hmm. and typically he works with the board initially developing a citizen screening committee. He also develops a profile of what the community is looking for, and I know he's having some forums with the public to determine, you know, what are the characteristics and attributes they're looking for in their next superintendent. And the screening committee will do the initial review of applications and then forward those to him and the school board, and they will vet the process from there.
Well, there's certainly the board's got to get it together. They've got to come together on this, certainly this issue of a new superintendent. We had Dr. Stegeman with us last week. We have Adelita Grijalva. We'll get her opinion on where this whole process is on Thursday. But let's switch topics now. We really haven't heard you weigh in, Bob, Dr. Hendricks, about the governor's new, it's called School Pay for Performance Plan. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit in terms of what the public's understanding of it is. It's a whopping amount of the governor's education budget. It was $38 million that he set aside for what he calls results-based funding. And this is basically a performance plan that rewards individual schools based on their academic performance, their overall student population. And so this is a somewhat unique approach to quality assurance among schools. And it's, I think one of the things that really does make it quite different is that the focus is not on the school district, but it's focused on individual schools. So essentially how it will work is that his proposal gives a bonus of $400 per pupil to schools, both district schools and charter schools, if they perform at a certain level. And the amount of the $400 amount is for low-income schools, and there's a $250 amount for middle to high-income schools. And this money, if awarded, is to be used for teacher salaries and recruitment and or professional development. So it's a new budget line that goes directly to schools that demonstrate that they're excelling in performance.
Well, what's the downside to this?
Well, we're going to have two different schemes. I use the word scheme because the first year, the criteria for determining who these schools will be will be the AZ merit test scores. So, in other words, any school that performs within the top 10% of all schools in the state, based on those scores, will be eligible for this reward. The following year and moving forward from then, we will have the newly revised grading system, the A through F system, which focuses on test scores, but also looks at other metrics, other measurements of a school's success. So that will be a different kind of a formula, but again, it'll be based on the top 10% of the schools in both of those economic categories, the low income and then the other group being the middle-high income schools.
Well, morale is already bad enough for some teachers. I guess if you're at a lower performing school, that's not going to help retain teachers, is it, Bob Hendricks?
It's probably not. I think that's probably a pretty good speculation. You know, the concept, Bill, is laudable. I mean, when you think about the logic of it, let's give more money to the schools that are doing the very best job. But when you look behind the curtain, this perspective really is not as encouraging. In fact, the Children's Action Alliance has done a statistical study of where they think this $38 million is going to go. And they say that two-thirds of the funding, or 65%, is going to go to the high-income schools. And the bonus funding for the low-income schools is only going to be about 25%. And that's nearly one in four of all students that are in charter schools, and only 11% of district students. So when you look at it, it appears to suggest that the government is really in the corner of trying to strengthen education for all schools. But quite honestly, as I look at the stats, and I also listen to the comments of some of the people who are respected in the educational business arena, they're saying that the students that really are in those low schools with the free and reduced lunch counts being high are not really going to get the lion's share of this bonus. It's going to really go to the higher performing schools with high income students.
Well, it's going to be an issue in the campaign. We had Senator Farley announcing yesterday he is now in as a candidate for on the Democratic side, running for governor, and he'll be going against Dr. Garcia, the ASU professor of education, who ran for superintendent of public instruction but lost to Diane Douglas. So education, Bob Hendricks, is going to be a huge issue in the next year and a half before the run-up to the election.
It is. And Bill, once again, the issue of charter schools comes up in this funding formula because there are people who feel that the charters have an unfair advantage in that they can turn away students. You know, if a classroom is full or if a program is full or if the program requires the students have meet with special needs, they don't take these students because they don't have the support of the facilities to handle them. So the question is, if that percentage is given on an equal playing field, the charter schools, that maybe there is an undue advantage. And so that's a critical aspect that I think people are going to be looking at very carefully.
Is this pay for performance plan unique to Arizona? Is this a hybrid, or is this something that's being done other places and we're adopting what's being done other places?
It's a hybrid, and it's something that I think other states have certainly looked at. There's a lot of discussion about how do we differentiate what we give schools based on their performance. And one very strong supporter of this plan in Arizona is our former state superintendent of public instruction, Lisa Graham Keegan. She's supported a very good foundation program, and she is now linking this to this idea that we should give more money to the schools who are performing better, not trying better necessarily, but performing better. And so one would argue that, again, that's a good idea, but when it translates into dollars, and who are those 10% that are going to get that money, and who are the 90% that are not, it could present lots of morale problems.
All right, Dr. Hendricks, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in July. Thanks, Bob.
Always good to talk to you, Bill. Bye.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, coming up this afternoon at 4. The name of the program is Mike Check. The host is Mike Shaw. He's ably assisted by Ray Allen. Together, they put together a very entertaining and informative hour of radio here on KVOI. So we try to put a nice, during the weekdays, we put together really a nice balance of local talk, basically morning, noon, and afternoon. So we got Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, then me, your host, Bill Buckmaster, back with you on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We do our monthly showdown the first Wednesday of the month, and that's going to be tomorrow. So hope you have a great afternoon and evening.